Within this box are the symbols of God's mercy. So we got three items in here. We got the Ten Commandments written on the stone tablets. We have the bowl of manna, and we have Aaron's rod. Now, the significance of the box itself, they were told to make it from a durable and disease-resistant wood. Then they covered it in gold. The lid of the box is actually called the mercy seat, and that's the base for the images of the two cherubim that sit on the top. These angelic beings are facing each other, and they're gazing downward. And their wings are stretched out in front of their faces so that they can gaze down and shade the contents of the box. So, what's so special about this box? Well, this box is where God meets with and speaks to Moses. Now, in order to keep this with them at all times, no matter where they were going, there were rings of gold that received poles, and so that meant that you carried them by the poles. And we all know the story of the poor guy that touched the box and died. The glory of the Lord is residing on that mercy seat. So for that reason, you don't want to pick it up by hand. You want to carry it by the poles. Okay. I want to talk a little bit about these contents. The Ten Commandments. We read in Exodus 34, verses 27 through 29, about the first set. Then we read Deuteronomy 10, 1 through 5. We had to make a second set. But it was Exodus 25 that said, that talks about God commanding, I want these tablets kept someplace safe, someplace where they are easily accessible. I want them in this box. Okay. This is known as the testimony. This is the words of the covenant that the Lord himself made with his chosen people. And the whole point of this word is to bring the Israelites close to the presence of God. And that is supposed to be so penetrating in these people that the pagan nations were going to take notice. These people are different. They've been transformed as they're just simply walking around in this desert, wherever it is that they're going. I think it's really cool in Exodus chapter 20, verses 15 and following, where the glory of the Lord actually comes down. And these people, they don't know how to handle it, and they are just... We're not talking the holy fear kind of terrified. Some of them are just downright terrified. And when Moses replies and speaks into that fear, he says, don't be afraid. For God has come to test you, in verse 20. And that his fear may be before you so that you may not sin. He promises that he's going to be their God. And as such, he's going to deliver them from their enemies. We see David speaking about that all the time in the Psalms. He speaks about how excellent that word of God is. Now, We also find in Romans 10 a confession of how badly we need that word that he brings. This is designed as a written testimony of not just the Father's desire to remain in us and with us. It's actually a testimony of himself in our lives. So we are to rely on his word, trust his leading, and know that he has only the best planned for each one of us. This is the presence of the Father in this word. Okay. Now I want to talk about the manna. What was in that ark was exactly one person's ration for one day. I think it's cool that it had stood the test of time for how many years it carried around in that box. We read about this manna in Exodus chapter 16. I just love the word. To put it in my son's vernacular, they looked at these wafers on the ground and said, "What the?" And that's what they decided to call it. It's his bread from heaven. You know, this is also a test upon the Israelite people. Just how, to what extent are they willing to dedicate themselves to each and every day, one day at a time, on God to provide for their needs? This was going to dispel any doubt that any of them might have had that God packed up and left. Because every morning, that manna arrived. So it proved that God was with them. And we know a word that speaks to us, that tells us God is with us. That's Emmanuel. Just like our Emmanuel, this manna couldn't be explained scientifically. It was not naturally occurring. They had never seen it before in nature, had no clue what it was. So this served as a testimony of God's own lifeline. Who's that? Jesus. The Son is our bread of life, from John chapter 6, verses 31 through 35. So the manna actually stood as a physical testimony of the Son's ability to satisfy our life, our spirit, each day and every day. He's the one that said, "Feed on me and you will never go hungry. Rely on me. I will lead you." Finally, we come to Aaron's rod. Now, the story with Aaron's rod, you have to do a little background in Numbers chapter 16 and the beginning of 17. It's a pretty cool story. You got three guys, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. They attempt a coup against Moses and Aaron. They got some jealousy going on. See, they couldn't take the idea that Moses and Aaron were God-appointed. they try to bring themselves up and all of their gifts and say, why do they have to be so special? Well, Moses then tries to explain that neither he nor Aaron were ever self-appointed. They were strictly God-appointed. And they tried also to reinforce to these three guys that, hey, you have gifts of service that you can use. I say, wonderful. Use them. Isn't that why you're here? Isn't that why you're standing up to say that you have gifts you want to use? Go for it. If God gave them to you, they were meant to be used. Well, they didn't respond to that too well. In fact, they come back with some absurd accusations against him. And the way God reacted to that is the way that only God could with the self-righteous bunch. He swallows the three of them up alive in a sudden sinkhole. Now, what I find so interesting about this sudden swallowing up by a giant sinkhole, these Israelites look at that and say, can we get some confirmation? So they want further proof. So then they decide, okay, well, we're gonna do this. We're gonna do something supernatural here. Every tribe, go find a stick. Okay? And that stick is going to represent you. Okay? And we'll just bring these sticks, and we're just going to say that next morning, whoever God has appointed, not us, only a living God could do this living work in this stick. Whoever has the stick that flowers has got to be God's chosen. Everybody was good with that. Well, the next day comes, and the only rod that was flowering was Aaron's. But what was so cool, it's not only flowering, it's producing ripe almonds. You want confirmation from God, you better watch out of what he could actually give you. So, they take that rod and they put that in the ark. Okay. So, we have life from a dead stick. Now, I don't know about you if you've ever tried to fix a dead stick yourself. My son tried to fix something once. He killed one of our plants when he was a preschooler or late toddler. He ripped some leaves off of a plant and decided, oh, I got to fix it. Oh, it's not going back on. No problem. I'll just cover the entire plant in super glue. Not so good. So, here he is. He was trying to use his own efforts, and some pretty darn ingenious ones at that, and it didn't put the leaves back on that plant. It died. Okay. So, we have a testimony of God's provision of a minister to a people that he wants to be merciful to. So, this minister can serve as an advocate between God and the people. Well, according to Job chapter 33, verse 4, the one who can give us this life is the breath of the Almighty. Who's that? That's the Holy Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He regenerates us. In fact, I would be willing to suggest he completely recreates us. Because we're pretty messed up. And I'd rather have God just take all of this stuff and just let him throw away and burn and whatever he needs to do to what I've got to offer, and just let him make some good stuff in me. And then he can use me how he wants to. Because it's all about him anyway. And the more of me that's left in here, the more of an obstruction I'm leaving for him to do the work that he wants to do. So, I want to leave this dead stick to let him do whatever, leaves, flowers, fruit, whatever. But that's got to be him. My fruit isn't going to taste too good on my own. So, this is a physical testimony of the Holy Spirit, that regenerated rod. Okay, so we now have, inside the ark, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they go with these people everywhere they walk. When they lie down, when they get up, the triune God is with them. All they have to do is make sure the priests are there to carry it. Who are the priests today? Us. 1 Peter 2:9, we're the royal priesthood. We're supposed to carry that box with us. We're supposed to be the living testimony of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is with us, leading us, speaking to us, providing for us, being our everything. Now, I want to offer this up to you. If we don't lift those poles, that lack of his testimony in us is going to lead to a breach in the covenant relationship with him. I'll give you an example of this. Solomon. Boy, we give him all kinds of credit, don't we? In fact, he built the temple. Not David, Solomon built the temple. Okay. And boy, Solomon, he's pretty proud of this temple that he made. Brings the ark to the temple. I want you to look at 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 9. And in that passage, we're going to talk about what was in that ark. 1 Kings chapter 8 verse 9 says, there was nothing in the ark except the two tablets of stone that Moses had placed there at Horeb, where the Lord made a covenant with the Israelites when they came out of the land of Egypt. What happened to the rod and what happened to the manna? Why were they removed? Used to be there. They were taken out. I got a suggestion as to what happened. You see, Solomon, his relationship with God became more or less of a veneer. He developed a legalism. He looked at God that God is simply a guy that gives me a list of do's and don'ts. Solomon's heart turned from the Lord to the gods of his wives. Read that in 1 Kings 11. The Lord becomes angry and tears away Solomon's kingdom. So, that all he has left is a word from God that I want more from you. I want more of you. I want you to see that you need more than a list of do's and don'ts. You have to search for more. You have to rely on me every day. Obviously, he didn't. Manna's not there to remind him of that. I gave you your gift, Solomon, that gift of wisdom. I gave you your kingdom. I give you the very breath in your lungs. Solomon didn't recognize that either. God just simply became something that he put in a box. Do we do that? Do we isolate God and put him in a box? I want each one of you to look inside your ark. Every one of you is one of his priests. You're carrying an ark. Have you checked the contents lately? Have you thought about the contents lately? Is your ark full? For so many years of my life, I put God in so small of a box that I didn't think he was capable of accomplishing very much. I didn't even pray to him when I was a child because I figured there was no point. He didn't hear me. Well, I'm telling you that I'm done with this box of God. I want that one. I want that one. I want the one that tells me, I want you in my presence. I want to be the one that provides all your needs, all your wants. I want to take care of you every single day of the life that I give you. I want to recreate you to be who I always saw you to be. Don't hold him back. What's in your ark? Father, you are the maker. You alone. Lord Jesus, you gave yourself as an instrument for us to see who the Father really is. Holy Spirit, you are the wellspring that gives us motion. And we lift that up to you, recognizing that. Produce in us that desire to carry all of you with us every single day as a testimony of who you really are. Not something that we have corrupted. Not something that we want to avoid. Not something contrary to you. But your holiness, your goodness. For only you can do what no man has ever done. We thank you for your testimony today.